The children can go, yeah, the young people. I'm talking about the lifelong commitment that we have in our journey of faith and how important it is that we understand that and how important it is that we commit to that if we want to see God do something in our lives. I think one of the focuses that we heard at the conference was that it's all got to be around him. Jesus is the focus of our lives if we are believers. As a church, Jesus should be the focus of everything we do. It should be the focus of our heart, our worship, our ministry. It's all got to be about him and not about us. And I just want to, some of you will have heard all this stuff already, and that's okay. But there's always a challenge when we listen to the word of God. Being a Christian is not easy. Being a follower of Jesus Christ is hard. You've got to be determined. You've got to hang in there sometimes. But it's something that if we want to be successful, we've got to stick at it. We've got to hang in there. And I think part of our cultural expectation, just in our community life, our everyday life, is that we want to be successful. We want to reach our potential. We want to do the best that we can. And we choose things to do that help us along the way to our success. Success is one of those things that can be difficult to measure, certainly as a believer. We don't measure it in the same way as the world measures success. We measure it in a different way, and we'll talk about that as we go through. But very often we're looking around a successful career, a successful financial stability, those things that help us to be, as we perceive, successful in life. But if we're aiming for external signs of success, there are things that happen that we are not in control of, and they can bring failure. And we've experienced that, haven't we, as we've gone through the pandemic, and that two-year period that we've gone through has blown some lives apart. It has changed family life, it's changed business life, and you know what? There's nothing anybody could have done about that. And so if you measure success during the COVID period, for some people it would have been failure because they'd lost their businesses. They've lost everything that they'd invested into. And we often hear talk about the fact that the Bible that we have is upside down thinking. We call it upside down thinking. In other words, it challenges our cultural norms. It challenges the thinking that we have around success and failure. And it's really important that we understand that God always tries to come at it from a different angle. And when we begin to apply his principles, they sometimes seem a little bit odd because they don't fit in with our thinking. But that's how our God works. He works differently. If you remember, very often when Jesus was around with his disciples and people will come up to him and say, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And he'd tell them and they go, what do you mean? I don't want to do that. Because they're looking for a different route to spiritual success. Jesus would say, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus says, what does that mean? And Jesus explained what being born again was. The rich young ruler came to him and said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? He said, go and give everything away. He said, I don't want to do that. That's too hard for me. And so the kingdom of God comes at our success in God from a totally different aspect than what we would. John 4:13-36 says this, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. Well, that's a great scripture. But if we think about it in natural terms, you would have thought that the people that we share life with in our community would recognize that we are God's disciples by the miracles we perform, by the dead that we raise, by the amazing things that God can do through us. But Jesus said, no, it's not. That's not how people will know who I am. They'll know who I am by the way that you live together. Totally different, upside down thinking. And as we read through the Bible, and as we hear the word of God, and that's what you're hearing this morning, and I'm hoping that it births something in you, that it challenges you, that it recreates something new in you as you listen to it. The Word of God is full of all different times, full of all different kinds of challenges to our thinking, our values, and our understanding about what being successful is. Being successful with God is different from natural success, but ultimately more satisfying and more fulfilling and more God-pleasing. In this relationship we have with God, it's called faith. In other words, we have to trust what God says, that it's true, and our own success in Him is based on our faith in Him working in our lives. We have to do it His way or it won't work. I don't know whether you've ever tried doing it your way, but it doesn't work. And last week I made reference to John 15, without me, you can do nothing. And I've said before, I found that quite offensive because I felt I could do a lot of things. But Jesus was saying, you can't do anything of value. You can't do anything of success, anything that has anything spiritual attached to it without me being part of it. Upside down thinking. Last week, my mum asked me to do something for her, which is not unusual. She had a new machine. She's a diabetic, and she had a new machine that tests her blood sugar, and she didn't know what to do with it. So she said, well, come and show me what to do. So I said, of course I will, yeah. So I did, and it didn't work. So I thought, it's just a machine. I can work that out. I'm fairly knowledgeable. And so I put it all together. She put a drop of blood onto the strip, and it said, error. You've got it wrong. So obviously there was something wrong with the machine, wasn't there? It wouldn't be me. So I had to read the instructions, didn't I? Which is always a bad thing for a man to do. We don't do that kind of thing. And there again, all the instructions were there. And when I did it the right way, it worked. What a surprise. I didn't do it my way, I did it the right way. And that wasn't my way. And if we want to be successful in our Christian walk, there are some principles that we need to put in place that guarantees success. Salvation is a free gift available to everybody. Come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will receive everlasting life. So there is this availability of salvation, this amazing gift that God is giving to us. And we just have to put our faith and our trust in him. We have to understand our need for him, his forgiveness in our lives, and we are born again. Growth, however, is something we need to work at and do it God's way. Sometimes we get a missed message about salvation, about this amazing gift. And we can think that we can just sit back and let God do everything. He'll sort everything out. Life will be easy and trouble-free. And we know, we can ask anybody in this room, that the reality of life still happens. And so when we're talking to people about salvation, we've got to remember that there's a toughness to it as well. There's a hardness to it. There's a determination that has to be put in there for us to mature and grow and produce fruit in our lives. We still have to engage with God and ask and give for permission for him to meet our need. It says, ask for what you need. Ask me and I will give. And sometimes we don't ask and so we don't receive and we feel God is letting us down because we're not trusting him absolutely. So we've got to get our mindset right. If we want to grow and be successful as Christians, we've got to give him permission to come into our lives and do the things that he wants, and then we've got to ask him to do it. Sometimes that might be just, I need something to get me through today. God will give it to you. But we've got to ask. And very often when we're failing in our Christian life, we're not asking God to give us what we need. And his word says he'll give us it if we ask for it. So let's ask him for the things that we need. The Apostle Paul gives us direction on how to have a long-term view of our Christian walk. I was talking with Kev as he came in this morning, and he's saying that we're never finished. God never finishes with us. He started something in us and it continues. We are a new creation, but we are recreated every day. We are always in that growth process. We never make it to perfection until we're in heaven. And so Paul said this in Philippians, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Work out your salvation in fear and trembling, it says. It's an important part of our Christian walk that we begin to work it out, that we sit down with God and we work it out together. What do you need to do in me, God, to make me successful in you? And we've got plenty of brothers and sisters here as well who you can sit down with and say, what do I need to do? Point me in the right direction, help me, encourage me. And that's the great part about church, is that when we're going through those moments of I don't quite know where I'm going here, that we can sit down with somebody and chat with them and be encouraged and be given some spiritual direction in our lives. But we have got to work it out. And so this gift that is given to each of us is very precious, but it's our responsibility then to work it out. God will do what he can do in us, but if we want to be a successful Christian, then we have to work it out with him. You can see from what Paul said that he wants to do something in you. He wants to do stuff in you that puts you into line with his will for your life. God is working in you to prepare you for his service, but we have to work it out with him. I very strongly believe that we've all got a calling in God. We are not just called to save, but we are called to serve, and we've got to work that out with God, because that's different for each one of us. What God has called me to do, he hasn't called you to do, and vice versa. God calls us to do something that represents him. And when we are called to his service, the things that he's asking us to do will fulfill us as well. He won't ask us to do things that we find difficult or irksome. They might be hard, but they will be part of who we are. We're part of our nature, part of our creativity, if you like, to work with God and work out his will for our lives. God never works independently of us. He's got to work in partnership. That's why he's given us his Holy Spirit. So that his Holy Spirit can speak to our spirit and just begin to reveal truth to us, begin to reveal what God is wanting to do in our lives. And we partner with God in this exchange. But we have to do it God's way. We have to do it that way. We have to follow his plans and purposes if we want to grow in our Christian walk and continue to overcome everything that we face, because we do face some really difficult things, and we've got to be in that place where we're trusting God. Even though at the moment I can't see what the solution is, I can't see what the breakthrough, when the breakthrough is going to come, I can't see all those things, but we have to trust that God is working in us, and we have to keep asking that he reveals that to us. One thing that we have to recognize is that when we're saved, all our sin is forgiven, and all that God has for us is available. That will never change. Our sin is forgiven, and that's why we can come on a Sunday morning and worship and praise, because he has forgiven us. And sometimes we need reminding about the fact that we have been forgiven, that God has done something awesome in our lives, that we can stand before him clean and pure. What a great gift that is. And it just sets us free in our life. And all that he has, his plans and purposes for our lives, will never change. Our plans and purposes may change, but his never do. And very often when our Christian life is going wrong, when it's not quite working out how we think it should, it's because we've stepped outside of his will, his purpose, or we're not doing things according to scripture. And therefore, it negates all that God is trying to do in our lives, because we've taken away that permission for him to work. But his life, sorry, his call on our life will never change. I've said before that God called me to ministry, when, I don't know, when I was young, 19, 20, 21, and I said, I'm not doing that. That was my choice. My decision was I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be involved with people. I didn't want to be upset by them. I didn't want to do all those things that I saw my dad doing. I thought, I don't want to do all that. I'm not good enough. I'm not equipped enough. And so I sidestepped that call of my life. But that never changed. The call of my life never changed. It just took me a long time to come round to actually recognizing that I'm working with God and allowing him to do in my life what he needed to do for me to fulfill my calling, fulfill my ministry for him. When we put our faith in God and we follow his instruction, our Christian life will work. One of the sayings that they had at conference was that it sounds easy, but it's not. And the Christian life sounds easy, but all of us that are in it recognize that it's not actually that easy to do it. And we've got to have something in us that gives us that determination to go for it, no matter what. The Frank Sinatra song, which apparently is one of the most used songs at funeral services, I'll do it my way, or I did it my way, or my way's better than your way, God, it doesn't exist in Christian walk. We don't do it our way. We must do it God's way. And we just have to refer back to that scripture about the vine and the branches in John 15. And just catch hold of what that means. If we are connected to God and we are receiving everything that we need for life, we will do it his way. If we separate ourselves away from the vine, it says we wither up and die and we're burned. In other words, we're not successful. We can't do anything unless we're connected to the vine. And we are the branches. And we cannot bring fruit or success without being connected to the vine. God's got great plans for each of us. And the great thing about God is he knows us intimately. He tells us he knows us before we were born. He says we were chosen before the foundation of the world even. He had us in mind. He wanted to do something in each of our lives. And like I've already said, that will be different depending on who you are, your makeup, your interest, your passion. God will feed into that and create something of his will in your life. But they're his plans, not your plans. And part of this journey of faith is recognizing that we have to put him first and we come second. It's his plans, not our plans. If we try and fulfill our plans, we end up in a fight with ourselves, with those around us, and very often with God himself. And we have to allow him to work in our lives. Romans 12 says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, because of what God's done for you, because of this gift that he's given to you, because of this forgiveness and this promise of eternal life, because he set you free from the power of sin, bearing this in mind, in view of all that God has given to you, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So when we're worshiping, we worship with our mouths, but we also worship with our hearts and with our lifestyle, with our commitment to him. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've already talked about the pattern of this world and how it sees success. But we don't conform to that pattern. We are transformed as our mind is renewed with our connection with him. As the Holy Spirit lives in us, he changes the way we think. He changes our understanding about success and about doing God's will. It is different from what the world would see. He says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So before we can prove or allow God's will or see God's will in our lives, we've got to become a living sacrifice. It's not the other way around. He doesn't do it all and then we go, well, that's really good. Now I will sacrifice my life for you. The first step is always we sacrifice our lives. We put our lives on the altar for God and then he begins to work in us. And that's a decision that each of us has to make. We are living sacrifices, sacrificing our will, our plans, our heart to him. We hear quite regularly that salvation is free, and it is. It's free to everybody. The gift of salvation is a free gift. We don't have to do anything other than by faith accept what God is asking us to do. Confess our sins so that he can forgive. But it costs you everything that you've got. And that's the seriousness of our salvation. If we want to fulfill God's word, it's going to cost us everything we've got. And that is a scary thought. That is something that overwhelms us at times. It costs me everything that I've got. And we have to work that out with God. Work out your salvation. It's going to cost you everything that you've got. But if we want to be successful in fulfilling God's will, that's where we've got to be. It costs you everything. But the relationship with God is when we trust him, he fills our heart with his love. It's an easy thing to do because we love him. And you will know that those things that you love doing are easy because you want to do them. And many of us have got things that we're interested in, sporting wise or family wise. And you know what? We give everything to that because we love it. It's what we want to do. And so when we talk about it, our salvation costing you everything, when we love God with all our heart, soul, our mind, our strength, when we put him first in our lives and he fills our lives with all that he's got for us, all of his love is poured into our heart. The cost might be everything, but it doesn't feel like that because we want to do it. His promise is that he gives us everything we need. We live an abundant life, complete, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And when we live like that, when we give everything to God, we live in peace with him. And his peace reigns in our heart. And very often when we are feeling a little bit not quite right, we've not got the peace of God living within us, it's because we're not giving him everything. We're relying on ourselves and we're focusing on what we want. When we are fully committed to following Jesus, it can take the stress out of life because we trust him absolutely for everything. And no matter what the outcome that we see, we know God loves us and he's giving us what we need. What a wonderful place to be, that we know that in our heart, that God has given us everything that we need. The Holy Spirit enables us to grow fruit that becomes part of our character and we mature in our Christian walk. But all this stuff doesn't just happen, and we have to make decisions every day on how we're going to follow Jesus. And I just want to go through scriptures that I did read out on Good Friday for those that were able to be with us. And this is the kind of thing that we have to make decisions about. And sometimes we wake up in the morning and the last thought on our mind is anything to do with God. It's what we want for that day. And so this is what I want to read. Hebrews 13. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. We've got to worship God with our lips. I remember, if you read in Psalms, David was talking to himself, going, why are you cast down, O my soul? Do you ever talk to yourselves? I do. My dad used to say, it's the only time I get a sensible conversation, when you talk to yourself. But sometimes we've got to talk about Jesus. He's great, isn't he? He's done all this. He's working in my life. And you're reminding yourself of who God is. And we have to praise him. It's a sacrifice of praise. Galatians 2 says this. This is a bit harder. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, not what I want, not my desires, not my passions, not my will, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 Samuel says this, and Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, than to listen to the fat of rams. God wants us to obey his word. Not keep coming on a Sunday morning and going, oh, you're wonderful, Lord, you're great, we worship you. And in the week, you're just doing what you want. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God loves that. He loves our worship as well, but it's got to be worship in spirit and in truth. We've got to be truthful about our worship. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I will give it to you. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. God's looking for this heart relationship with him. That's what he really wants. He wants us to sacrifice ourselves for him. Colossians, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance of your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Everything we do heartily as though Jesus was standing next to us. I've got to say that I'm glad he's not standing next to me sometimes, because our behaviour can be really poor. Whatever you do, do it as though Jesus was right there next to you. And would that change the way that you do it? Sometimes it would. But we've got to be aware of these things as we're living out our Christian lives. In Ephesians 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We've got to imitate God. He says as beloved children, so we want our children to behave how we behave. We want them to follow our principles and values. We want them to be obedient and listen to what we're saying. It's what we do as parents, and God is saying, well, be imitators of me. Do it the way I do it. I've given you this amazing book called the Bible. Read it and then do it. Be imitators of everything that I am. Not just what you want. One of the courses we do here, Freedom in Christ, brings a challenge on our faith and on the things that we believe and the things that we don't believe. And one of the greatest challenges of the church today is that people come and it's like a pick and mix in faith. They go, I like that bit about your faith, but I don't like that bit where he says, I've got to crucify myself. I'm not going to do that bit. I'm going to do my own thing for that. And if we're not careful as we're reading through scripture, we do the things that we are passionate about, the things that we think will bring an advantage to us, but we don't do the things that we disagree with, even when it's plain. Go and sin no more. Our heart has been that we don't want to keep on doing the wrong thing. We don't want to do that. We want to behave. We want to be imitators of God in everything that we do. God wants you and me to be successful in our Christian walk. The Bible sort of directs us in how to do that. And he's put everything in place for us to have a successful Christian life. He's given us the Holy Spirit who empowers us to live it. He's given us faith whereby we can put our trust in him. He's filled our hearts with his love so that we can feel secure when things are going a bit wrong. We can go to our Father in heaven and ask and trust. He's got a will and a purpose for our lives. That I love that verse in Ephesians. It says he does more than we can imagine. He can do more with our lives, with your life, than you can imagine or think. What an amazing God that is, that he takes us and he multiplies everything that we think we can do, and we can do amazing things in him. I'm sure you want to be a successful Christian. You know, we all do. But sometimes we've got to make those decisions about what that means. Are we going to put our faith into this? Are we going to put our heart into this or not? He says in Revelation, doesn't it, when it was the church in Laodicea, I'd sooner you be hot or cold and not lukewarm, because that makes me want to vomit. He wants us to either go for it or say, I'm not doing that, and leave it alone. But so often, I think in our Christian life, we are lukewarm. We kind of neither this nor neither that. We're not making the right decisions. We're kind of muddling through in our Christian lives. And God says, that makes me feel sick. Come on, make a decision. Let's together decide that we're going to follow Jesus. Absolutely. There's a real challenge in the Word of God. And I'm not bringing this to make you all feel bad, because that's not what I'm here to do. But I want you to be successful, just as God wants you to be successful. But we've got to do the right things for that to happen. And as we come together and worship in spirit and truth, there is a release in that is just awesome. And the presence of God is amongst us. So this morning, it's like a rethink. It's a reset button. Am I doing those things? Am I still fulfilling what I expected to fulfill when I gave my life to Christ? Which might be last week, it might be last year, it might be 40 or 50 years ago. Are we still on the right path? Do I have to do a self-examination of where I'm at and put some new things into place to succeed in my Christian life, to receive all that God has got for me? We're just going to close with a song. I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And in your heart, as we just sing through this, and it's a really powerful song, just assess where you're at and make that decision. I've decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. I'm not going to go back to my old thinking, to my old desires, to my old sin, to my old world. No turning back. Let's just, together, we're going to stand and just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us.